This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. This weekend is Dia de Muertos, or Day of the Dead. And to be clear, despite its proximity to October 31st, Dia de Muertos is not Mexican Halloween. Now, the holidays do have similar origins. Halloween has roots in ancient Celtic religion and pagan culture, while Dia de Muertos draws on ancient indigenous practices in the Americas. Each holiday long preceded the Catholic Church's declaration of November 1st as All Hallows or All Saints Day, and both celebrations have continued to turn people's attention to connections between the deceased and the living. In just a bit, we'll learn more about the history of Dia de Muertos, but before we get into that, you may have heard that St. Louis Public Radio has been putting together something special to recognize that holiday, a digital ofrenda. And STLPR engagement producer Paula Rodriguez is here to talk with us about it. Paula, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thanks for having me.
And welcome to this side of the station. Paula, this is the first year that STLPR has done a digital ofrenda. Can you explain to us what an ofrenda is?
Yeah, an ofrenda translates to an offering in Spanish, but the definition over time has expanded to include an altar where offerings are left. It started as a prehistoric tradition in Mesoamerican indigenous people believe that leaving water and food for their deceased relatives would help guide them back to the land of the living. Now, in more modern times, ofrendas are decorated with photos of loved ones who passed away, water, their favorite foods, mementos that remind people of who this person was.
Mm-hmm. So the idea then for a digital ofrenda, where did that come from, Paula?
Yeah, back in 2020, the LA Times launched their version of a digital ofrenda. At the time, Latin American communities in Los Angeles were having a hard time celebrating how they traditionally would have celebrated Dia de los Muertos. And so what they did was they created the space for an online platform to have people send in photos and memories of their loved ones. And now other stations like KPBS in San Diego, the public media station there, are also doing their versions. And we at St. Louis Public Radio thought, you know, we have a growing Latino population in St. Louis. What are ways that we can make this our own? And we wanted people to be able to feel comfortable in sending in audio messages. And so we've had a few people, in addition to sending photos, send in some, you know, audio messages about their loved ones. And one person we heard in particular was Liz from University City, who's remembering her pet.
Coco, I love you so much. I miss you terribly. We all miss you so much. I hope that you're happy. I'm so sorry that you got cancer and you were taken from us so quickly. I love you. I love you. I love you.
She was one of three people who submitted ofrendas for their pets, and she wasn't the only one that is remembering someone or something that was very dear to them this time of year.
Mm-hmm. And actually, this has some resonance for me because my sister actually just lost her dog, and I was thinking about sending something in on her behalf. Outreach and engagement for this digital ofrenda, because it's the first time, obviously you need to kind of get the word out. How did you go about doing that, Paula?
Yeah, we understood that it was going to take a while because this is the first time that St. Louis Public Radio is doing something like this. And so we started our outreach at the Hispanic Festival in Soulard Park back in September when Hispanic Heritage Month launched. And over these past few weeks, we've made flyers to hang up in businesses. We've attended events to let people know what we're doing. We've done social media call outs. We've done on-air promos. Truly, everything that you can think of when it comes to trying to get people to know that we're a resource here and we're here to help remember your loved ones as well.
Mm-hmm. Was there any surprise that you heard from people, you know, in response to your telling them that this was happening, or just people who did not know what you were talking about?
I think the biggest shock to me in this was how open people were to sharing some of the most vulnerable messages. I never anticipated. We got submissions from people who were remembering loved ones that they never met, but they wanted to remember. One person in particular was remembering someone who was enslaved in their family, and was hoping that by having an ofrenda for them, it would help guide her to her ancestors on how to better move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd say like that was the thing that stood out most to me.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear another one of the reflections that was submitted. This is Sewali Rodriguez.
Sometimes when you're young and you see the adults in your life, you're trying to understand the decisions that they're making. And now that I'm an adult, I understand. I understand the pressure that you had and the way you were trying to lead our family to survive this challenge. And thank you for trying to be gentle. And I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven. And I hope one day I'll get to see you on the other side.
Paula, how does hearing that make you feel about this project?
It just goes to show me how needed this was. Feelings of death are very hard, right? And someone once told me, you know, grief is like a rock that you carry in your pocket. It's not something that ever goes away. And some days it's going to feel heavy and some days it's going to feel light, depending how strong you're feeling that day. And when we have this ability to have these digital ofrendas, I feel like it's a way of supporting our community members through this grief.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that there are some personal connections that you have, maybe family traditions of your own.
Yeah, I'm Puerto Rican. We've never traditionally celebrated Dia de los Muertos, but I lived in Arizona for 3 years, and there it's a really large Mexican population. And through that, I personally started to have altars more often in my life. And actually this year, I'm remembering my abuelita, Flavia,
mm-hmm.
Who passed away in February. And since she passed away, we've had a year-round altar for her.
Mm-hmm. What is on that altar?
We have candles. We have her. I have a matching rosary with her. And so that's on there. Photos with her and her dog Coco, ironically also named.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So.
So the finished product, this digital ofrenda, what will it look like?
So community members will be able to go to our homepage and they will be able to click on a link that will take them to a website that has all these photos that were provided for community members, and the photos will flip over to messages that community members want to send to their loved ones as a way to connect back with them. You'll also see sugar skulls, marigolds, which are the flower known to help guide people back to the land of the living. We really kept in mind the design aspect. Christina Fletismach, one of our designers at St. Louis Public Radio, she's been really making sure that we're staying true to the Latino culture that is behind Dia de Muertos.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the population here, as you've noted, Paula, in the St. Louis region, there is a growing Hispanic population. In bringing this year, what are the hopes for the future? Are there any notes that we should be taking?
I think it's just always remembering that, like, the Latino and Hispanic population is present in St. Louis and the St. Louis region. I think sometimes we're siloed off into our own neighborhoods, and especially this time of year, it's on everyone's top of mind with Dia de Muertos, and it's making sure that we're helping support our community members in the best ways possible and being a resource to them as well.
Mm-hmm. And when can people expect to see this?
On Friday.
Great. Paula Rodriguez is an engagement producer for STLPR and, as it happens, also a former intern on this show. Paula, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
And again, that ofrenda will go live at stlpr.org on Friday. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about local Dia de Muertos traditions. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation about Dia de Muertos. This weekend, November 1st and 2nd, folks across the globe and around the country will observe the holiday, which focuses on the connections between the deceased and the living. Our next two guests are St. Louisans with insight into the history of the holiday and who'll be celebrating Dia de Muertos with their own family traditions. First, we have actress Carmen Garcia. Carmen, thank you for joining us today.
Ay, muchas gracias.
And also with us is historian and host of Latinos in Action STL podcast, Leticia Seitz. Leticia, thank you too, and welcome back.
Thank you.
As I noted in our introduction at the top of today's show, Dia de Muertos is not a Mexican version of Halloween. It is its own separate thing. Leticia, where did the lines get blurred between the two?
Well, Dia de los Muertos is celebrating more than 3,000 years ago. So with Spaniards came in the 1500s, they bring obviously their own customs with... It's a blend of culturalization in Mexican and Spaniard culture. So it's by Spaniards, it's Dia de los Muertos, November 1st, because it's All Souls and Dia de Todos los Santos. Mm-hmm. It's a blended celebration. But in Mexico, we celebrate in ancient times, Mexicas, Mayas, mm-hmm. Purépechas. We're celebrating to offer the good times for... inviting our ancestors to come back and visit us.
And how is Dia de Muertos, how has it been celebrated in Mexico? And also it's Dia, which I believe is day. Why is the holiday celebrated over 2 days?
It's not something that we can have like a be scared or anything like that. It's more celebrating life, is celebrating our ancestors, celebrating the people who we love in life. And we believe that they coming back and be with us, celebrating their life. So in Mexico, it's big celebration because everybody's in fiesta right now. Is I just come back a couple of days ago from Mexico, and it's a lot of cempasúchil, a lot of fiesta, the rituals, the pictures, the everybody's talking about the family that we pass, they pass, and we're going we have the chance to celebrate their lives again.
Mm-hmm. Is there a lot of excitement or anticipation around Dia de Muertos?
Yes. From my experience from San Luis Potosí that I used to be living, we have a year, the entire year preparing the food, who is going to be the main person who is going to do the altar, but... in that moment, for example, last a couple of years ago was my dad. My dad passed away, and so we had to celebrate him, his life, and preachers, and food, and music, and what he, the memories that we have from him. So it's kind of, yes, it's in advance, a lot of preparation for having our ofrenda.
Yeah.
Yes.
Carmen, for you, how was Dia de Muertos introduced to you?
Oh, as a child, I grew up with it. My parents are both Mexican, so we always had an ofrenda every year as we celebrated each family member that passed, as well as those close family, you know, that we have around us. We would also celebrate them as well. And they all there's also a day for pets, if you want to celebrate our little mascotas, as they say in Mexico, or our pets that have passed. So we do that. We start celebrating as of the 27th of October, actually, to celebrate pets. And then the following day is for those that have passed, I think, via accidents. There's certain dates that are associated with different passings, if you will. Mm-hmm. And as Leti said, they celebrated their her father a couple of years ago. We're celebrating my dad this year. He just passed earlier this year. So we've been preparing our ofrenda for him as well. So talking about stories and finding pictures and, you know, just the joy that he brought to us.
How much of the ofrenda is about the time that people are spending together rather than the objects themselves?
Wow. I think it's a combination. It really is, because as we were going through photos not only just for my dad's service before, we were always talking about, well, this could go on the ofrenda and we could do that. And do you remember when and how this? And it's all joy combined all the time, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. as we're putting it all together.
Yeah. Leticia, I think you said that one person prepares the ofrenda. Is that an important part of the tradition, or one that, you know, family to family differs?
It's family to family. It's everybody has to participate in the ofrenda because it's a way that we can continue to talk about our ancestors, who was who loved what, and what type of music. And this is also a learning for us, for our kids, for even, I didn't know my grandma, so my grandma, I know them because of the altar, of because the stories that we're talking about in family. But the family is more than welcome to participate in putting something in the ofrenda. It's a time together, but also is very important that we continue our culture,
mm-hmm.
our traditions, yes.
Each of you are from Mexican families, Mexican heritage. When we look at, you know, popular depictions of Dia de Muertos, mm-hmm. are there any in popular media that have done it pretty accurately? I'm thinking about Coco or The Book of Life, Carmen.
The accuracy, well, they're, you know, they're embellishing a little bit here and there to, mm-hmm. for their audience. But I think they've got the basics pretty well down, I believe. Mm-hmm. You know, and it really is about the joy, the color, the coming together, the family, the community. And I think both of those stories bring all of that about.
Mm-hmm. So, what are the embellishments?
well, I mean, you know, the alebrijes, I don't think that necessarily is a spirit guide, but, mm. You know, those little things like that. But other than that, I think they did pretty well.
Yeah.
Especially the Xolo. The Xolo is a dog who is very strong in the culture because mm. the Xolo was a companion for mm-hmm. our ancestors to go to the Mitlan, and it's a powerful dog. So I kind of... A little disagree about Coco, how he represents the Xolo squinkly dog, but still right. it's like, okay, it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, at least it brings it to a larger audience and they can mm-hmm. kind of start doing their own research into what the Dia de Muertos really is.
Exactly.
Well, we would hope so anyway, right?
Yeah. Okay. Have people asked questions after seeing productions like that?
Normally what they ask me is, can they use it as a costume?
Oh, okay.
And that's a big no.
Exactly.
That's great
that's,
to know.
That's appropriation. And,
okay.
and you really don't, yeah, I frown upon that a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree with it.
Yeah. What kinds of conversations have you had with people about that?
This is demoniac. This is scary. Yeah. This is not right because you're doing rituals with dead people, and it's not, accurate what the meaning is. So, yeah, but I had to explain and what is the importance, what is the beauty, what is the meaning of the of having this celebration. And it's now, my husband just was talking with me, that China this year was taking gratitude to the Mexican government because it was the chance for China to express and know more the meaning about Dia de los Muertos. So China, for the first time ever, did a creation of Dia de los Muertos in the country. So for us, it's like, yes. Yeah.
Brings about a lot of pride. Brings a lot of pride.
Yeah. The symbols that are associated with Dia de Muertos, mm-hmm. Marigolds were mentioned earlier when yes. Paula Rodriguez was talking with us, and marigolds are said to guide spirits home to their loved ones because of their intense aroma and bright color. What are some of the other symbols that are associated with Dia de Muertos?
The incense is the aroma, who also we believe that our family or Asians, they come and go through, find the ways to the altar, to the houses. But also we use salt, water, candles.
Mm-hmm.
we put out fruit.
Candies.
And we also try to prepare favorite dishes mm-hmm. of our loved ones. I also put a little bottle of tequila here and there, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just little bottles?
Well, you know.
Yeah, right.
Chocolate.
Chocolate, mm-hmm. Yes.
Even some sodas, yeah. Famous sodas, like, okay, he loves Coca-Cola. Uh-huh. So let's put it there, Coca-Cola mm-hmm. there. So.
But again, it's a remembrance of what our loved ones enjoyed while they were here.
Right, right. It reminds me, in Korean culture, there is something that is done on the anniversary of death, and that does involve preparing foods that the deceased enjoyed, as well as some pouring of soju, which some people do and some people do not. But the spirit of that sometimes is one that is not all that well received, depending on people's religious beliefs. Mm. Is this also true when it comes to Dia de Muertos? Are strict Catholics, perhaps, folks that don't observe Dia de Muertos?
I don't think so.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I can't speak for the entire country of Mexico. But,
oh, of course.
But also, it's not necessarily celebrated all over Mexico either. Mm-hmm. You know, there are pockets. Going back, to, I think, to what Leti said and what your original question about Halloween is, a lot of people mistake it that it is something more demonic, if you will.
Or sinister.
Yeah, or sinister. Mm-hmm. And it's mm-hmm. so not.
Yeah.
It's so not.
Since we are on radio, there was mention of music earlier. Mm-hmm. So with the ofrendas that you will be building with your families, is music going to be part of it?
All the time.
Yeah. All the time.
What kind of music will you all be playing, Carmen?
Oh, my dad loved boleros, so we'll probably have a few boleros going on at the same time. We usually have music in the house all the time anyway, so mm-hmm. yeah.
Rancheras, yeah. Music to dance. Mm-hmm. Even just start with joy and love, but still in the moment, building the altar or the ofrenda, I don't know what happened, but you cry. Mm-hmm. You cry because the memories, because the feeling, because you miss that person
yeah.
a lot. So it's why it's important, and we invite everybody to know more about Dia de los Muertos and live the experience.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
How does the celebratory nature of Dia de Muertos help people who are, you know, in mourning or those who are grieving, Carmen?
Well, I know for me, with my dad, like I said, having passed earlier this year, it helps me because just going through all his memories, just going through the time that we spent together and not dwelling on his final days, if he was at all in pain or suffering or whatever, but knowing that he was alive and the life that he lived,
mm-hmm.
that helps a great deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a health.
Mm-hmm.
It's for us.
It's healing for us.
Healing for mm-hmm. us, yes.
We have a call from Claudia. Claudia, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to share a story of the small town where my family, my father's family's from. It's from Honduras. So we celebrated Dia de los Muertos, and the way we celebrated it, actually, it was a week-long celebration where people that have left the town to go to the city have come back and come to celebrate with the family that have stayed behind. And what they used to do is kind of go to the cemetery, and that Day of the Dead, we will go all, the whole family, kids, and adults will go and kind of clean all the areas where or disease were, and decorate them with flowers and candles, and then share stories and basically spend the whole night in the cemetery with different family members. And you know, that's how you learn about other family members that you never met.
Mm-hmm. Claudia, thank you so much for sharing that. You both were nodding as you were hearing Claudia speak. What comes up for you, Leticia?
Día de los Muertos is a big celebration, but everybody celebrates in the way that they want to celebrate. For example, Michoacán, all day, all night, bring the food to the graves and music to the graves and flowers. And I have a memory that I went to Pátzcuaro, Michoacán, a couple years ago, and it was a guy who was taking care of the grave. And I asked him, this is your family? And he said, no, somebody from the United States who cannot come to Mexico, he paid me to bring food to the family here. And I asked him, what you make? You make mole? And he said, yes, I make mole with chicken, and it's so good. And I asked him, may I sit with you and eat with you? And he said, yes, after we pray. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the celebration is no matter what, they're going to invite you to come to their house and talk about somebody who you never see in their lives. But they want to talk about their life and its happiness and its joy and its sometimes sadness, but it's tears of joy because mm-hmm. the family is together.
Yeah,
Carmen. And it's a time of community.
Exactly.
That's, you know, a lot of cemeteries are a very central part of what a community is mm-hmm. a lot of times, and they are. They do that as well in Mexico. You go to the gravesite, you decorate, you picnic there, and
exactly.
people bring their guitars and they sing and they do, and it can last all night. But it is just it's to celebrate the memory of those that have passed. That's mm-hmm. basically it's down to the basics. That's what it is.
And yeah. the cemeteries at this time they're gonna mm-hmm. be packed.
Oh my goodness! And beautiful,
packed, beautiful flowers mm-hmm. everywhere. Yes. Mm-hmm.
What is the thing you're most looking forward to this year's Dia de los Muertos?
Well, we've been already celebrating. I have my ofrenda already up because it takes a little time to get everything together and make sure it's all the way you want it. It's a celebration every day. Right now for my dad, the memories of my dad and talking about him and making pan de muerto with my sister, which we'll hopefully be doing in the next couple of days.
And, right.
And chatting with my mom, you know, that's what I look forward to.
Mm-hmm. Leticia, this year, the thing you look forward to most?
I really love pan de muerto, and I'm making my altar because I just came from Mexico, so I have to rush to mm-hmm. do it. But it's making flowers and... Mm-hmm. and have the celebration. I planted some marigolds last year, and it's kind of nice because for first time ever, I'm going to have my cempasúchil planted by my hands.
Your own hands.
Yes,
right,
my hands. Right. So I'm so excited, mm-hmm. yes.
Leticia Seitz is an historian and host of the podcast Latinos in Action, STL, and Carmen Garcia is an actress. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Darius Varner.
Audio engineering and sound design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.